There was a lady who began to work toward a certain goal in our nation. Because of honor and love and appreciation and respect for her father, who had fought in one of the great wars, I believe it was the Civil War, or her grandfather's and her father. She so loved him that she began working on it, and it took 62 years to get the job done. In 1972, Father's Day was finally enacted by an act of Congress, although it had been recognized throughout the country, was recognized and enacted as a rule of law for Congress or a celebration for our nation in 1972. That's perseverance, folks, 62 years. A few weeks back, we spoke of the mothers in Israel. This is Father's Day. Fathers are a commodity lost in a great measure in today's society. How many understand it takes more than siring children to be a father? Some have children and still aren't fathers. Some have never had children and are far more of a father than those with offspring. Today what I want to do is give a brief study to bring some encouragement to the need and to the place of men to be the men that God wants us to be. Now, ladies, don't get hostile with me. Again, a few weeks ago, we did Mothers in Israel. And this morning's message is called Men at the Gates. Turn to each other and say, it's called Men at the Gates. Now, we're aware that the cost of our society is incredible for the lack of fatherhood. It's a society-wide problem, and I'm sure that you are aware of that. Drugs, alcohol, suicide, depression. Are you aware that at least 70% of teenagers who get involved in criminal activity, at least 70%, come from homes in which no father is present? We're talking about not just a society ill or a biblical ill. We're talking about an ill that has worked its way through our country and the fabric of our nation, and it is extremely costly in bills and in criminal activity and eradicating all of those kinds of things in addition to the decimation of lives. Certain people groups have more absentee fatherism than others, but it's not limited to color or people groups. It leads to terrible images in the minds and the hearts of sons and daughters. And there's a perpetual difficulty that works its way through generations. I come from a family that was broken by the time that I was 6 years of age. And I had a stepfather that I was very close to who came on the scene at 10. But I was blessed by that man coming on the scene at 10 years of age. I thought, and I was convinced, and maybe some of you have parallel steps, I was convinced that my father left my home because of me. And I was the youngest of three sons as a six-year-old son. And I've come to discover in my life, obviously years later, that that wasn't the case. But the images and the decimation in lives that can be created if there's not a healing in Jesus. How many know healing is possible in Jesus? And He is the one who brings healing. But as men, we're here to train and to instruct, to lead, to guide, to mentor, to defend, and even to lead in righteousness. Lord, give us men at the gate. Somebody say it with me. Lord, give us men at the gate. And women too. Amen? Yes. Those of you strong women this morning, I'm not leaving you out. I just want to give specific encouragement. Remember, just a few weeks ago, what was it? Mothers in Israel. And that applied not just to women who had children, right? So you got to give me a little equal opportunity for our guides this morning. So we all, by the way, I will acknowledge you. We all know you're the power behind the throne anyway. And if you look at our first verse, Pat, if you'll put the scriptures up, I have to give them to you in order to do that. Some of you are saying, come on, that's not true, Pastor Kevin. But we'll just look at this first verse, and this is my nod to all the women this morning. The Proverbs 31 woman, her husband is known in the gates. And the whole chapter's been all about you hot ladies. And so that's why the husband's known in the gate, right? The husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. It's vital for us, church, and I'm really talking about something crucial for us this morning. The children are already walking out on me. I'm sorry. Anyway, it's crucial for us this morning. We have to reclaim our land for righteousness. We have to reclaim and claim our city for the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm here to beat anybody with a religious club. That's not what it's all about. But what it's about is give us men and people who stand in the gates for righteousness and for truth, for loving kindness and for the grace of God. Somebody who is willing to stand up and say no to sin and yes to God. Who can say that? No to sin, yes to God. Let me provide a bit of history for you this morning, just a bit of perspective. Ancient cities were oftentimes much more like fortresses than what we see in our concept or our mind's eyes as cities. The perimeter of these communities consisted of usually, or in many places, massive stone wall or walls with gates that prevented the entry of people and animals. In times of war, enemy forces would come in and they oftentimes focused their attack specifically on those openings of the gates. Typically, it was the weakest part of the city wall. So the gates were usually constructed in such a way that they were flanked by or even actually a part of one or more defensive guard towers. The old city of Jerusalem, if you've studied it at all, has had numerous gates over the course of many thousands of years of Bible history. You can still walk through some of the gates today, while others have been sealed up, or still others are probably down underneath the gates that we even see today. In fact, most likely many or most of them are. Some of them have been known by one, two, or even three different names throughout their centuries of existence. You probably have heard of some of them. There's the Sheep Gate, also known as Stephen's Gate, or the Lion's Gate. That's all one gate. Then there's the Fish Gate, and that's where the vendors came and sold fish by that part of the wall. There's the old gate, the valley gate, the beautiful gate. You remember from the book of Acts, the beautiful gate is where Peter healed a crippled man in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk in Acts chapter 3. The golden gate sounds familiar to us with San Francisco in our minds. The golden gate was located on the east wall adjacent to the Temple Mount. And originally, it was constructed by the Byzantines. It was later sealed by the Muslims to block the future path of the Messiah back into Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? There was the Dung Gate. How many would have wanted to work on that gate? I don't think so. No, I don't want to work on the Septic Gate, the Dung Gate. It was located at the southwest corner of the wall. It was used for the disposal, basically, of garbage as well as dung. The Fountain Gate, the Zion Gate, the Water Gate, the Horse Gate, the Sheep Gate. I know some of you are thinking, was there really a Water Gate? Not just in 70s. The East Gate, the Inspection Gate, the Jaffa Gate, the New Gate, the Damascus Gate on the north. Everybody seemed to have a gate, including Herod's Gate. All right. Now, therefore, in order to keep those gates, there were men raised up into position of responsibility, positions of authority, positions of responsible respectability. And it was, they were called gatekeepers, porters. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, if you recall from your scriptures, it says. They protected the city. International Bible Encyclopedia talked about how the gate was especially to when you possessed the gate, it meant rulership. It meant authority. And when the enemies came in and possessed the gate, it meant that community was overrun. But it was protected by a tower, again, overhanging, flanking projections. In particular, the gate would be the place of legal tribunals. A seat among the elders at the gates was a high honor. Oppression in the gates, another Bible phrase, was a synonym for judicial corruption. The king would hold public audiences. If you are reading the daily Bible reading along with us, you read about David and they just, in the situation with Absalom. Remember, he was wailing over the loss of his son and the killing of his son who had done terrible things. He was more concerned about his son dying than he was about the thousands of soldiers who had fought on his behalf. So they slink into the city and Joab comes and rebukes King David. And he says, if you don't meet with these soldiers before a few hours goes by, you're going to be in worse shape than you ever thought you were with any of your other conflicts. So David goes out to the gate to meet with the people, and they gather with him there. So kings would meet there. It was a place of throngs, and prophets and teachers would gather at the gates with their message. News would be spread at the gates. sometimes people consider the internet and the media, the gates. And how many aren't sure what gates they're at? Yeah. The dung gate. Got it. Oh, sorry. Little joke there. Okay, what happened at the gates? Let's just talk about a few things that happened at the gates. Again, we're just giving you perspective. What happened at the gates? Abraham did some real estate at the gate. If you recall, he purchased property, witnessed by men at the gate in Genesis 23, verse 17 and 18. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went in at the gate of his city. Secondly, families drew from the wisdom of the elders that sat at the gate of the community. Deuteronomy 21, verse 19, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. The entry point, if you will, the place of responsibility, the place of eldership, as in the church today. There's a gate, there's a responsibility at the door. Number three, men at the gate helped you in times of trouble. When he flees to one of these cities, referring specifically to the cities of refuge in the Bible, they flee to one of these cities and they stand at the entrance of the gate of the city, and he declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city as one of them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Fourth, family inheritances were guarded by men at the gate. All the people who were at the gate of the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah. How many remember who he was talking about? Who is this? It's the Ruth and Boaz story, isn't it? Two who built the wall or the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. Men at the gate were in relationship with one another. Abraham basically was easily able to get land for himself, for a possession for his family, and to bury his dead because he was in relationship with these people. They knew who he was. They could speak to his character. It was their honor. You read that passage of Scripture, it was their honor to be able to provide for Abraham. They knew this man. What I want to say about that point is a very simple statement. Don't hold yourself aloof in the family of God. Don't stand off alone in the family of God. Get into relationship, which we enjoy around here. Enjoy one another. Be in relationship with one another, because sometimes tough times come. Who can say amen?
Amen.
Did yours come this week? Did it get mailed to you? Sometimes tough times come. Other people have strength while you might face a time of weakness. How many know it's helpful to have somebody else reach out and pick you up? It's helpful to have somebody else who knows you, who can look at you and say, honey, I've been praying for you all week long. Tell me what's going on. I'm standing with you. That's part of being a family, church, and that's what the body of Christ is all about. Psalm 133 tells us there's commanded blessing from God when brethren dwell together in unity. The brethren and the sister dwelling together in unity. All right, what are they? We're talking about gates of protection this morning. Watch this section of Scripture from the New Testament. Gates of protection, John 10, verses 1 through 7. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not, this is Jesus speaking, he who does not enter by the sheepfold or into the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, and door is your operative word here, that same person trying to get in without going through the right door is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the door opener or the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. You ever heard God called your name? What a thrill. He knows you. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things he spoke to them. Have you ever felt that way? I don't get it. Sometimes that's how it is. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door, the gate to the sheepfold. The men of the assembly, with the shepherd's hearts, if you will, if you want to extrapolate understanding for today, those with shepherd's hearts take care of the flock of God, take care of the people of God. They hang around Jesus. They hang around the great shepherd. And the sheep are safe and are protected. Men of God, hang around Jesus. Say amen, guys. Amen. Or grunt amen to me this morning. And when you do, men and women too, the sheep in the church are safe. Now, the context behind this, by the way, is they would go out, look for pasture, and then they would find a protecting place. Sometimes they couldn't find much, but other times they'd look for something with walls that were 8 to 10 feet high. Other times within a community, many flocks, but one fold. Many flocks would bring their sheep into that fold at night, and the sheep would be there in safety, and the shepherds would post themselves at the door so nothing else could get in to hurt the sheep. The next morning, they aren't a mass of confusion because the shepherd, the under-shepherd, if you will, in our example, but the under-shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd's voice. So instead of just being a whole herd of sheep in chaos, the shepherd would call out the sheep's name, and the sheep would come right to him. And so the flocks that might be 4 or 5 or 6 flocks in there would simply be divided out because there was an intimate knowing of the voice. How many want to walk with Jesus so much, so closely, that you know your shepherd's voice? And he puts under shepherds to care as well. And we know one another in the body of Christ. Now, if you want to get me riled up about something as your pastor, you can rile me up if somebody says someone else is taking pot shots at you and hurting you. That will rile me up. If someone hurts your faith in the Lord, that will rile me up, because that's my place. And you have many in this room who are just like that. Isn't that a good thing? You want to see Pastor Kev riled up? Tell me a story about somebody hurting you. No, we watch out for one another, don't we? That's what we do in the body of Christ. So, safety, protection, not just anything can get through. Solidly taught from the Scriptures, there are men of God who serve as elders at the gates. Now remember, there are two words in our New Testament for eldership, presbyteros and episkopos. Presbyteros, mature men. Episkopos, mature men with rulership responsibilities or leadership responsibilities in the body of Christ. I'm looking at a room full of presbyteros. There are some episkopos who serve as elders on your behalf, but we've got a number of presbyteros, people with gray hairs. Don't look around right now. Who have lived the maturity of years, who can watch over the flock, and who do. That's what it's all about. And women, you are absolutely vital and crucial for the same reasons. The older women teach the younger. And we got to just grow a whole lot more so you get a whole bunch of younger women, right? Yes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But we teach the younger. And the older guys just hit the younger guys on the side of the head. Isn't that what it says in the Bible? No, but there's a teaching. There's a mentoring. Listen, can you tell me, how many of you guys were ever helped by someone loving you in that way? Come on, guys. Some of you guys didn't know that blessing. I've known that blessing in my life. It's helpful to have somebody look at you and say, now look, you're walking in the wrong way. It's time to walk in the right way. Amen? That's what it's all about in the body of Christ. Men for the church, men for the city, and men for the nation. We need you more than ever. All right, where are the men at the gates? After generations of sin and refusal to repent, God finally judged the nation of Israel, and they were carried away captive into Babylon for how many years? How many remember? 70 years into Babylon. Listen to Jeremiah's heartbreak and watch what he says. Lamentations chapter 5, 7 through 22. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There's none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is as hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands. Elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones. Boys staggered under loads of wood. Now, Read this next verse out loud with me, would you please? The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. It was a heartbreak to the prophet that the elders no longer gathered at the gate in leadership and in rulership and protection for that city, and it was because of their sin that caused it. Verse 15, the joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Does anyone like the prophet have that heart cry for your own nation today? Oh God, our nation has become desolate because of our sins. Oh Lord, how long? Folly is rampant in our land. Economic disaster, natural disasters, people hardening hearts against God, illnesses of every kind, maladies of every issue. Oh God, forgive us and heal our land. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Church, as God is dealing with America, and let's face it, let's not put our head in the sand. How many believe God is dealing with America? Let's just admit it, all right? The quicker we can get to admitting it and humbling ourselves before God, the quicker we can get to some healing in our nation. Our Lord is dealing with us, and we need to rise up, men and women, but men specifically to you this morning. We need to rise up and lead the way in response, in repentance, in hearts turning back to God. Men, you are needed at the gates, spiritually, naturally. Men of God who are men who can rise up and stand for something, who can sit down and mentor, teach, and impart strength to other people. As men of God, we need to lovingly represent Jesus Christ to our communities. It is a high and a holy calling to be a father. Now, I could talk all morning about being natural dads. How many like being natural dads? Okay, very few hands in the place. I think we need to talk about that for a little bit here. The Lord says in the last days He'll turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Okay? All right, now let's try this again. How many like being natural dads in this room? All right, all right. A few of you. How many prefer being grandpas? You know why? Because it's a payback to the generation. Oh my goodness, you guys are so funny. I mean, like being dads. Not me, man, I'll tell you. It has been a rough week. Men, you are needed at the gates. You're needed at the gate of your family. You're standing at the gate of your family. You're standing at the gate of the church. You're standing at the gate of Port Ludlow, Chimicum, Irondale, Port Hadlock, Port Townsend. You're standing at the gate of the Olympic Peninsula. You're standing at the gate of the county, at Washington State, at the United States of America. You're standing at the gate and interceding and standing in the gap. You're standing in the gap that the revival of God can burn throughout the world. Oh God, move by your Spirit and let there be some men of God who will rise up and say, I will stand in my place and I will pray, I will intercede, and I will lead the way to Jesus Christ. Come on, let me hear an amen. Amen. Lord, let it be. Men of God, soldiers in the army of God, the keepers at the gate. Alexander Tyler said, and I believe I've written it up for you to see, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From great courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. Sound familiar so far? From abundance to complacency. Now read it with me. from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back again into bondage. I'm dependent on a government to provide everything for me. I don't have to have responsibility. I don't have to take any responsibility. Yes, we do. There is a proper place for provision, strength, and help. And it first began in the church. And the church many times has forsaken its responsibility. But when we have moved down these roads, we move back again into bondage. And we are witnessing such a progression in our country. Let your voice be heard. Right and wrong is true. There is that which is right and wrong according to the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, the Lord calls us to be salt and light in our communities. How many can tell me that you remember a time, and I'm sure I can see every hand in the place, you remember a time where the church was respected in a community? Maybe there were some that didn't go to church. There were people that didn't go to church, but they respected the church. How many of you in your own life know people where if you're a person of faith, they may not want anything to do with your Jesus, but they'll call you the moment they have a prayer need?
That's right.
Because they recognize the presence of God in your life. The place of the church. The answer is in Christ. The answer. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on shouting. I'm going to keep on lifting my voice until the world knows that Jesus saves.
Hallelujah.
And I don't mean just a neon sign over in the corner. That's good. But there's the reality too. Our world needs Him more than ever. And we need to stand for something. An old phrase says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. In the days of Nehemiah, the gatekeepers were the traders, lawmakers, financiers. They were the news dispensers and the defenders of the city. The gates were the moral centers of the city. The vocational callings of the gatekeepers in Bible times was separate from those who attended the temple. They had a distinct responsibility, but they were indispensable to the temple's proper functioning and safety. Too many people feel like today what I do is either I'm retired from a career or I have a career and it's not very spiritual unless I'm leading prayer somewhere. And you ask them, what's your ministry? They don't tell you, my ministry as a lawyer, I represent people for righteousness sake before the law. They don't tell you that I'm a doctor serving God necessarily. They don't say, I pick up garbage for Jesus and I do the best on my block. But every vocation is high and holy as a calling before God and endued and imbued with the fragrance of the presence of God. When you walk in the room, Jesus Christ just walked in the room. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when we realize that, what you believe determines how you live. When we realize that, we don't have a secular versus sacred life. We don't compartmentalize our life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're living for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Men of the city, stand in the gate. Women, rise up, stand in the gate, and stand for something. What you do is important. I want you to say it with me. Men, I'm a man at the gate. Come on. Grunt it out with me. I'm a man at the gate. One more time. I'm a man at the gate. Ladies, I'm a woman. You thought I was going to say it different, didn't you? I'm a woman at the gate. Make it practical. Men at the gate. What do you do? Let me give you three simple points. Very simple. Number one, shine the light. Shine the light. Matthew 5:16, say it with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine the light. Simple. Shine, Jesus. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this earth with the Father's glory. Secondly, share the love. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Read it with me, please. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Some of you were able to help me a few weeks back in a move that I had to do, and I can tell you, no condemnation for those who weren't able to be there, but for those of you who were there, did you sense anything but love? Love, grace, joy, fun. I mean, we just plain had a good time. Not a bunch of arguing. There were people who drove down the streets who said later, I saw you guys doing that. What'd you all get out of it? Love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost as part of the same family. 4th of July is coming up. Party! As a family. Share the love. Number 3, take the lead. Shine the light, share the love, and take the lead. Shine the light, share the love, take the lead. Be salt and light. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men, then you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Watch this out of the Message version. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Dean, if you'll go ahead and turn that on, thanks. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I love it. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Maybe you'll say to me this morning, well, Pastor Kev, I may not have the gift of gab. What am I going to do standing at the gate? Men, if you've got family, even if you don't have children or grandchildren, you might have a relationship or a relative or somebody that does, or maybe there's someone you can reach out to. Mentor them with the grace and the love of the Father God. Show them the love of a real father. Stand in the gate. Intercede for your church, for your community, for your family. Be the men of God that He's called you to be. How many men at the gate do we have in this place this morning? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
How many women at the gate do we have here this morning? Ladies, you just have that hand out there pushing it. No. No, we hold hands together. I'm sorry, I was only kidding. Hold hands together and stand together in the gate. Amen.